Dateline Washington, Wednesday, January 7th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Karumbitz. In this edition, The Endgame. We'll talk with Dr. Waleed Faris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, about what Israel needs to accomplish before agreeing to any sort of ceasefire agreement, regardless of how valid the terms. We'll also ask him how significant this conflict has been in getting all Arab and Muslim states on the table with whether they stand with the radical or moderate elements in the effort to achieve Middle Eastern peace. Also in this edition, the perspective of the American Jewish Committee. We'll talk with Executive Director David Harris about whether or not Israel should accept this ceasefire deal being offered by Egypt and France, and what a true ceasefire agreement should look like. Also, an achievement that the Democrats want to have in place by Inauguration Day. It's a major expansion of a program known as the State Children's Health Insurance Program that President Bush vetoed twice back in 2007. We'll talk about what exactly it would do and how much it would cost you, the taxpayer, with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. And Russia is freezing Europe, literally. Russia cutting off its supply of natural gas to many European countries, some of whom depend almost entirely upon Russian energy in order to have their residents heat their homes. We'll talk about how long this could last and why it's happening with Ilan Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council. All of that is straight ahead on Dateline Washington, and it follows our top news. Israel announcing it will halt its bombing of Gaza for 3 hours every day to allow humanitarian aid into that ravaged part of the Middle East. However, international pressure is growing on both Israel and Hamas to sign up to a French-Egyptian proposed ceasefire. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon calling on both sides to stop the violence.
The civilian population of Gaza is being subjected to a massive trauma that is not of their own making. I'm also deeply worried about what the further escalation of this conflict could mean for stability.
The U.S. and the U.N. backed the plan, which calls for an immediate ceasefire to allow more aid into Gaza and talks with Israel on border security. It comes after one of the deadliest days since the fighting began and as Israeli ministers meet to discuss expanding operations. Israel, though, apparently receptive to principles outlined in the Egyptian-French proposal for a truce in the Gaza Strip. Senior Israeli officials noted key details must still be resolved, though, about how the ceasefire would be implemented. An Israeli official said, quote, "Translating those principles into practical action is a challenge that is still ahead of us." France, meanwhile, optimistic that a plan introduced by it and Egypt for a ceasefire could be implemented fully within about 8 days. A senior official to French President Nicolas Sarkozy's office says within 4 or 5 days, Egypt and Israel could agree on securing the borders, which could lead to the pullout. Egypt says it's advancing the idea of an immediate truce between Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza. Meanwhile, at the UN, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice pressing Israel again to commit to the U.S.-backed ceasefire plan, adding that it's essential that the truce be one that's long-lasting.
Obviously, the United States and several other countries have been working very hard to get to a ceasefire. We believe a ceasefire is necessary, but it has to be a ceasefire that will not allow a return to the status quo.
This remains an issue, though, that President-elect Barack Obama refuses to address publicly, deferring instead to the Bush administration until he is the commander-in-chief come January 20th. At a news conference today in Washington, Obama once again says there's only one president at a time.
We can't have two administrations running foreign policy at the same time. We simply can't do it. We cannot be sending a message to the world that there are two different administrations conducting foreign policy. That is not safe for the American people.
My first guest in this edition is Dr. Waleed Faris. He's a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, where he is also director of the foundation's Future Terrorism Project. He's also a visiting scholar at the European Foundation for Democracy and is author of The Confrontation. We want to get his thoughts today on what he believes is coming up in the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Will this peace agreement, the ceasefire agreement, rather, brokered by Egypt and the French, actually take hold? And what would actually need to be accomplished for Israel to stop the hostilities? And Dr. Faris, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
What is the end game here for Israel as you see it? What do they need to accomplish before any of these ceasefire agreements are even really on the table?
Well, what we see right now is a race between two strategies, the Hamas agenda and, of course, the Israeli strategy. And whatever will come as a result of them clashing with each other and finding a final balance of power is going to impact the diplomatic initiative, including the latest one between Egypt and France. Let me be very clear here. Hamas would like to have a ceasefire as soon as possible because only a ceasefire could stop the Israeli advance into its position, which is very logical in military terms, but it will also give Hamas an advantage in terms of a propaganda war, because if military action stops the ceasefire, propaganda action will not. So if Israel falls short of changing the landscape, the strategic landscape in Gaza, Hamas will win. The Israelis understand that, so they will accept a ceasefire. They will accept those initiatives, but only, A, if they can change the landscape on the ground, meaning cut Gaza in two or three pieces, seize the Philadelphia line separating Egypt from Gaza, and get a commitment from the United Nations that there will be monitors, there will be a system which will stop Hamas from shooting the rockets in the future. So what we see right now are two strategies, and the Egyptian-French initiative will only be successful if one or the other will say out first.
And in terms of the Israeli goals, how close are they to accomplishing the first two, dividing up Gaza and cutting off the smuggling effort between Egypt and Gaza?
I think separating Gaza into several enclaves is feasible, because in the center of Gaza there are areas with less dense population, so that will be the third stage of the Israeli's military operation. Seizing the borders between Gaza and Egypt is also feasible, but it is maintaining those forces inside Gaza without having to go into the neighborhoods, meaning Hamas understand that Israel is going to do those moves, so what they're trying to do right now is to withhold their fire until the Israelis are in, and then counterattack the Israelis, compelling or triggering Israeli operations inside the urban areas. That's what Hamas wants, because they know that Israelis would lose soldiers and military, and that would, of course, create a much bigger trigger of a whole-out worldwide criticism of Israel. So we're going to see who's more patient with each other in this very tight game.
Dr. Ferris, you've written extensively on the conflict here since it began nearly 2 weeks ago. And one of the things you point out in your assessment that you sent out today is that what we're seeing, even though others are not joining the fight here in terms of the Muslim and the Arab world against Israel, you're seeing whether they fall down on the radical side or the moderate side, including some places such as Turkey that usually don't think about in terms of the Middle East conflict. How significant is that all of these Arab and Muslim states are finally having their opinions on the record here?
Well, as you said, this is probably a window that Israel discovered, the international community discovered, but also some other Arab moderates have discovered as to who's with who in this region, where it was always known that Iran's regime, Syria's regime, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Hamas are the hard core of what, you know, has been defined as the obstructionist, rejectionist camp against the peace process and the democratic movement, sometimes joined by the Sudanese regime. But what we saw this time as international community is a role played by Qatar. Qatar's emir has blasted Israel and shown that really they are on the side, in this case, of Hamas. But more significant probably is the position of the prime minister, the AKP leader in Turkey, which also withdrew from a moderator between Syria and Israel and also blasted the Israelis. What that is telling the international community is that both Qatar and Turkey have lost practically their position as moderators, and that's why the ball now rolls into the camp of Egypt, despite the fact that it has been criticized by Hamas. But Hamas's delegation is in Cairo, it's not in Istanbul or in Doha in Qatar. So that is a new data for future diplomatic initiatives in the region.
Couple quick questions before we let you go here, Dr. Ferris. Number one, you also point out that this is a very dicey situation for the Palestinian Authority, and specifically Mahmoud Abbas, who's kind of caught between hoping to reestablish control over Gaza as well as being rendered completely powerless in terms of the public relations. Talk about that.
Well, Mahmoud Abbas, has a problem, major problem on his hands, but he's very close to the alternative that he always wanted to see happening, that is Hamas being removed as a military force, of course, not as a political force from Gaza. Let's keep in mind, listeners need to remember that in June of 2007, it was Hamas that led a coup d'etat, a bloody coup d'etat against the Fatah members, supporters of Mahmoud Abbas, against the PA in Gaza, a very bloody action, leaving hundreds of Palestinian members of the Palestinian Authority killed. So Mahmoud Abbas is somebody who has been aggressed by Hamas, and a number of his spokespersons have called Hamas a terrorist organization. Now it is Israel moving against Hamas. The problem for Mahmoud Abbas is that the political culture of the region, of the Levant, is and has been basically built by the radicals, by their media networks and by the intellectuals. So, very simply, he cannot say, well, I'm the one who is going to take over from the Israelis. That is something he cannot say. He calls Israeli action an aggression. But below the surface, of course, Mahmoud Abbas will be the first one to profit from a diminishing and a weakening of Hamas.
And finally, the U.S. role. Obviously, the U.S. government is in a time of transition, less than 2 weeks until a new presidential administration comes in. What do you make of the posture that the Bush administration has taken, and what do you expect from the Obama team?
It is very projected and predicted, has been predicted, that the Bush administration, to the last day, they can't go on the offensive. They can just withstand and withhold the position that the U.S. have had on this issue since the mid-90s. It's not even a Bush issue. It's a Bush-Clinton. It will be more likely in the future an Obama position. I mean, when it comes to the essence of the conflict, the United States of America, short of a major change in its foreign policy, regardless of who's in the White House, is going to continue to support its ally, in this case, Israel, and it's going to continue to support the idea of a two-state solution. So Washington wants a Palestinian state, but they don't want a Taliban Palestinian state. So what you're going to expect from an Obama administration is basically to continue with the major lines of thinking of the Bush and the Clinton administration. They may try other procedures, meaning sending envoys, an intense diplomatic activity, trying to create coalitions, encourage the Arab moderates, and all sorts of things. But certainly any significant American initiative is not going to come before President-elect Obama will enter the Oval Office.
And Dr. Ferris, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you for your time.
Dr. Waleed Ferris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, where he's also the Director of the Future Terrorism Project, visiting scholar at the European Foundation for Democracy, and the author of The Confrontation. This is Dateline Washington.